Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first Paddock Pass podcast and note show from the Circuit of the Americas here in Austin, Texas. It's a warm day. It's pretty blowy outside. It's getting busy for this third round of the 2024 MotoGP World Championship. I'm here in the media center and I'm delighted to be joined by none other than MotoGP's number one news hound, Mr. Uriel Puigdemont. How are you doing, mate?
Very good, thank you. Super pleased to be here with you.
Uri, it's been a pretty busy week for you, breaking the news, you know, on motorsport.com was one of the main websites to check out the news about Fabio Quartararo and his new two-year deal with Yamaha. Also, some other stories with, you know, VR46 talking with Ducati and possibly Yamaha, and then, of course, Pramac as well being a potential contender for Yamaha or M1s in the future. I asked Jorge Martin about that today in the press conference, and he seemed that he reiterated again that his main goal is to be a factory Ducati rider next year. He said his allegiance was perhaps more towards that and Ducati than, say, the Pramac team. I don't know, what's your latest view on it? I mean, you wrote the story. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think that the main story will be how Yamaha will be able to get a satellite team again next year. I'm still not convinced if this is going to happen, especially after having that call with Ucho. I think that at the moment VR46 is super pleased with the level of the Ducati, and they have a really good prospect on keep on going with the Ducati, not only for 2025 and 2026, but in long term as well. So I think that will be the key of all the things going on at the moment.
I wanted to ask Fabio Quartararo about this today in the press conference, but I figured it might be a question that's better for his media debrief tomorrow, because in the past with Yamaha, he was very forceful about making a demand for a faster engine. And then he wanted a change in Yamaha's working culture. He wanted more development, faster development. Those two things have arrived. I'd like to know what he's asked now with his fresh contract for the future, because maybe having a second team is one of those demands.
I precisely asked this question to him in Portimao, if it was one of his demands before the renewal, and he answered yes, 100%. I'm not gonna tell you any detail about that. That's what Fabio told me, but I'm convinced that it was one of his main demands for the renewal, that it finally was announced like 10 days ago or a week ago. So I'm sure that they are pushing, but at the same time, I don't know. I don't see many options other than trying to convince either VR46 or Pramac. To be honest, I think that VR46 is quite convinced on staying with Ducati, so they will have to try to I don't know. It will be a strange move from me, from my point of view, to convince, being able to convince Pramac, but there's no other chance than that if they want to have the satellite team next year.
But Pramac has been kind of the official satellite team for Ducati, so you
they have it by contract.
Yeah, so you would imagine it's hard for them to give up that status.
That's why I say that it would be difficult to understand, at least from my humble point of view, that they, especially because don't forget that they have the leader of the championship, they have the runner-up, they were teams champion in the team's standings last year. So in terms of visibility, it would be like, as we say in Spanish, a shoot in the foot.
Yeah.
So I mean, Yamaha would have to offer something really, really amazing. I don't talking about money, but I don't know. They have to offer something if they want to convince Pramac to say no to this option that they have already on the table.
Budget, as we know, Uri, is everything. I mean, when you're writing a story that Fabio's earning a contract of 12 million euros, does it seem hard to believe?
Yeah, it is hard to believe. And I think I say around, because I think that is between 10 and it's around that. It's around that. I have a really good source that told me 13. I didn't believe that it's 13, but I'm sure that it's around 10, which is, it makes him the highest paid rider on the grid. It's almost double than what Pecco gets.
Yeah, 20 million euros for 2 years.
Exactly. 20 million euros for 2 years at the moment is amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
I mean, Marc Marquez, when he sacrificed the final year of his salary of Honda, was saying, you know, maybe it's a good thing because Honda can use that money in development of their motorcycle. I mean, that's not quite how companies work. I mean, the budgets tend to be moved around in strange ways. So when it comes, especially big corporations like HRC. But, you know, for Yamaha to have that kind of budget, I do wonder if maybe the renewal with Monster Energy could be substantially bigger. But then how do Yamaha justify that? It does show that the Japanese are investing.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you can see that things are happening in Yamaha. You see the arrival of this guy from Ducati, Massimo Bartolini, also the new head of aerodynamics. So they are investing, they are changing things in compared with the last, let's say, 3-4 years. So, and also they need to retain Fabio, because in terms of riders, you will agree with me that Fabio is one of the best on the field. So for Yamaha, it was worth to make this kind of offer, despite that is probably, yeah, the biggest in the last, in terms of money, the biggest in the last 5 years.
Do we think, Uri, that there's still question marks over Quartararo and his ability to make a championship winning bike? You know, in 2021, he was riding a motorcycle that had been filtered maybe a little bit from the end of the Jorge Lorenzo era. I don't know.
It depends on who you talk to, because I've asked that to many former riders, and some of them, for example, if you go straight to Alberto Puig, he says, don't lie to yourself. The engineers make the bike, and the riders just ride it. So, and not only about Fabio, but about Mark, about the Honda thing. So, of course, the comments of the riders have probably big impact on the development of the bike. But from what I've heard and from what I've asked, it's a engineer's thing. So, in the end, Gigi Dalligna and his engineering team has built the Ducati. Everybody talks about Gigi and Ducati, not about, because you have Pecco being a reigning world champion, but you also have Martin being super fast with that bike.
And
Bezzecchi. Exactly. So it's difficult to try to put in place so many different inputs from so many different riders.
Hey guys, Neil here. If you want to listen to the full episode of this Paddock Notes show, you can catch the full version over on our Patreon page. And you have to subscribe to become a Paddock Pass podcast patron to do so. But to hear the rest of the episode, head over there. Thanks again to Adam and Uri for this episode.